God. We give you praise. We honor you, Father. We thank you. While you're yet standing, let me just read one passage for you. In the book of John, first chapter, 50th verse, Jesus answered him, "Do you believe this just because I told you I seen you under the fig tree?" He goes on and says, this is Jesus talking, this would be written and read in your Bibles, "You will see greater things than this." Somebody say, greater things.
Greater.
Shout it like you mean it, greater things.
Greater.
Now, how many of you all believe God wants to see greater things? And then the next verse, it says, he says, "I tell you the truth. You will also see what? Heaven open and the angels of God." And folks, this is New Testament. Don't say, well, angels only Old Testament. No, New Testament. "I tell you the truth, you all will see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man." The one who is, help me out, the stairways. Every time I hear him say the stairway to heaven, you know that makes me want to sing that song, but I'm not going to do it. We're going to be talking about an open heaven. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you, God, because we came to celebrate your greatness, because truly you are great and greatly to be praised. So speak to someone. Someone came and they have a specific need. I pray that that need is met in the name of Jesus. I pray that that stronghold is broken in the name of Jesus. I pray that we see you in a whole nother light. I pray that, God, you open something over us that we recognize that you're with us and for us. And Father, we give you glory and we give you praise. And it's in Jesus' matchless name. And those agree with that prayer, why don't you give him your best praise right where you are? Hallelujah. 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 Before you take your seat, witness to one person and say, God is great. Hallelujah. 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 It is so good to see you today, and the Lord is doing amazing things, and I thank God for the praise and worship team. Put your hands together for them one more time. Thank you for the band. Appreciate you all. Fantastic job. We love you all, and thank God for the job that you do. Hallelujah. And when I think about this passage talking about an open heaven, and the Lord is saying to Nathaniel that he says that you'll see greater things, and he says that he says, "I know you've seen me tell you about what happened in your life, and there's no way I could have known except God be with me." But not only that, that is a great thing, but you're going to see greater things. One of the greater things you're going to see is heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the very man of God or son of God who is the stairway between heaven and earth. When I see that, it just lets me know that God wants us to have a divine encounter with him. That's my first point. Will you say it with me? God wants us to have a divine encounter with him. Now, I want you to recognize that, man, when you encounter God, there's nothing else like it. When you really encounter God, the presence, his manifest presence, him himself. And that is our desire. Our desire is not just to go through church to show up and say we were there and we left the same way, but our desire every time we come, and even when we're not here, is to encounter God. Encounter the divine, connecting heaven and earth together, you know, recognizing when we call him, even in prayer, we say, "Our Father, which art in heaven." That is a divine interaction, earth and heaven coming together. It's important that we recognize that God wants us to encounter him. And until we encounter him, I really don't believe we've had a successful service. Can I get a witness? We're just going through the motions. And how many of you all don't want to just simply go through the motions? You want to encounter God. If you believe that, give him a praise in this house. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that God wants us to have a divine encounter. And there's an example of it. And we've been talking about even Nathaniel. Nathaniel was looking for something greater than what he had seen before. He was a Jew and he was very religious. And Jesus said to him, he says, "You're a man of true son of Israel." He went on to say that you're a man of integrity, but it's more to it than that. He needed to encounter God. It's almost like, you know, when Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and he says something to him that blows me away. He says to him, He says, I know that you're a man of God because nobody could do the things that you do except God be with him. Can I let you know people are still looking for a God move? And then Jesus tells him, he says, you know, you must be what? Born again. He said, but until you're born again or unless you're born again, you can't see or perceive the things of God. I believe that's where we are in America today. You know, that there's a group of people that they want to see greater things, but until they are born again, become into right relationship with God, they really can't see the very plan and even kingdom of God or God's way of doing things. Are you with me today? Thank you, Jesus. I like where our church is right now, and I'm blessed God for it. What do you mean by that? There's a hunger and a thirst, and the Bible says that they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, help me out, they shall be. And I know that there's a hunger that's taking place at 9 o'clock, at the 11 o'clock service, at the 8 o'clock on Reynolds. They have a hunger for the things of God. Even on Friday night at the Overcomers, man, there's a hunger there. But there's something oftentimes that when you know you need God and you know that where you are is not where you need to be. But when you think you have everything together, that's when you say, I don't need anything. I'm good. But can I let you know that's a dangerous place to be? We don't ever want to be a place where we plateau as a church or as an individual or as growing in your walk with God. Are you with me today? Always wanting more of him. Are you there today? We desire more of you, God. Not satisfied. Thank you for where we are. But God, I know there's more. If you believe that, give him a shout in the house. Woo! And every leader, every man in the house, you certainly can't come to a place of stagnation because your family is depending upon you. Even as a pastor, I certainly can't come to a place of stagnation. I always have to say, God, I need you. I need you because I need you to help me lead whoever I'm leading, my family. My wife told me a long time ago, she says, honey, I don't mind following you, but you got to be going somewhere because it's hard to follow a parked car. Hallelujah. So I made sure I didn't park. Hallelujah. If I parked, she'd be parked with me. Hallelujah. Moving on. God wants us to encounter him. There's a passage in the book of Genesis, the 28th chapter in the 11th verse. And this is talking about Jacob. And Jacob is one of the ones that God ended up changing his name. Jacob is blessed. The scripture says in the New Testament, it said God loved Jacob, but he hated Esau, and I don't have time to explain that, but I want to at least throw it out there so you can be thinking. But Jacob was a trickster. Jacob did some stuff, man. Jacob was, man. In fact, I wrote this down about Jacob because God is getting ready to deal with him, and I want you to know that just because you do some things and because you get off track, it doesn't mean that God just cast you aside. Can I get a witness? You know, if there's anybody that I would have thought that God says, God, I ask God, why you like Jacob so much? Because, you know, any of you all know some tricky people in your family? They slick. They steal. Don't point. Don't think too long. Moving right along. But Jacob qualified. But regardless of that, God still loved him. Look what the Bible says. You know, that Jacob schemed with his conniving mother to steal his hungry brother's birthright, to deceive his nearly blind father, to receive his father's blessings and his brother's birthright. But God says, you know, now understand, in this moment you'd be saying, man, I know he's going to be in trouble. And I understand, too, that we mess up and there are repercussions for some of the things that we do. But can I let you know God still wanted to get his attention? Even while he had done all that stuff, and even while he was underhanded and connived and was sneaky, and his brother wanted to beat him down. His brother wanted to kill him, actually. And he was on the run. Have you ever had a big brother that you messed over and messed with him and he was on your case? Yeah. On your trail too? Yeah. Man, he was on Jacob's trail trying to track him down. And Jacob was running and his mom helped him get away, told him where to go, and so forth and so on. And now he is at a place, and the scripture says that at sundown, he, being Jacob, arrived at a good place to set up camp and stop there for the night. Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and laid down to sleep. Next verse. And as he slept, and if we were going to do commentary on the first passage, it's interesting that you're going to run and get somewhere and of all the places you're going to find this place and you're going to lay your head on a stone, and while you're sleeping, you're probably thinking all kind of things like, you know, what if Esau catches me? Thinking like, man, I know I didn't do right, you know, because, man, sometimes our conscience would mess with us, and sometimes we'll think we've been disqualified because of the things that we've done. And that's been one of my things with guilt, condemnation, and shame. You think that you're done, no more ministry, you've messed up so bad that God can never use you because you messed up so bad. Any of you all ever been in that place? And the thing about it is that even when he went and laid his head on a stone, he dreamed of a stairway. So God is getting in his dreams. And I believe that God is getting into some of our dreams even now. He dreamed of a stairway that reached from the earth to heaven. And he saw what? Angels of God going up and down. Now understand, this is the same thing that one Isaiah prayed, rent the heavens and come down. The same thing that John saw when he says that when he baptized Jesus, he saw the heavens part and the Holy Spirit come down, and he saw angels ascending and descending from heaven to earth, you know, and they were ascending and descending on the very Son of God, who is the stairway of heaven. So you mean to tell me while this guy is doing all of his dirt, while he's messing up, while he just got through stealing and cutting up, God still wants his attention? That God didn't disqualify him, God didn't put him out, kick him out, didn't scratch him off the list, God still wanted to use him? Can I let you know that it blows me away that no wonder that scripture says his mercies are new every morning? Great is your, when I deserve death, God, you still love me. When I deserve to be in jail, you still love me and sometimes gave me grace that I didn't have to go. Y'all don't hear me today. Even when you're messing up, God still loves you. Now understand, sometimes, you know, you're going to reap what you sow. And I pray for crop failure, some of the things I sowed. Hallelujah. So he was going to meet someone when he left where he was running. He was going to meet a guy named Laban. And Laban was slicker than Jacob was. Yeah, Laban was slicker than snot on a doorknob, I'm telling you. He was slick. Man, anytime that you could reel a brother in with two daughters and say you're going, and he wants the younger one, but you give him the one that is not so young and beautiful, or not as Rachel, because that's where his heart was, and he don't even know it till the next morning, you know you slick. Man, oh man. But anyway, the thing is that God says, I still love you, Jacob. And then look what he says to him. He gives him a prophetic word. He's because next verse there, 13th verse, and it says, and at the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, and this is the Lord getting his attention while he's in hiding and running. I am the Lord your God, of your grandfather, Abraham, the God of your father, Isaac, the ground that you're on, that you're lying on. Before you, I'm giving it to you and your descendants. We would have said, you know, why don't you zap him, God, because he don't deserve to be given a promise. But he says, no, there's a promise that's still yours. And I'm giving you this promise. What you're on right now is still yours. Now, let me say this. He's saying that I promised this to Abraham, Isaac, and your Jacob. Just because you do some crazy stuff, I didn't take my promise back. It's yours because of something called inheritance. That means that you didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. No wonder the Bible says that we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. That means that when I mess up, it's still not my inheritance is not messed up. Why? Because Jesus Christ paid the price and I am an heir and a joint heir with him. So even if I mess up, I don't try. But when I do, I'm still not disqualified. I'm still not scratched out. And the promises that God have for me, they're still mine. Are you with me today? By grace. And I know that's hard for people to say, well, if I messed up, I deserve this. Well, man, you're not sitting in the seat you're sitting in because you deserve to. I'm not breathing the air that I'm breathing because I deserve it. I'm not standing before you because I deserve it. That's why I can never be religious when it comes to looking at someone else and say, you don't deserve. No, I don't deserve to be here, but God stepped in and had mercy on me. Thank you, God, because great are your mercies every day. Every morning, somebody say amen in the house. It causes me to humble myself Some people say, I deserve to be where I am. I deserve to have what I have, to drive what I have. I know it was the grace of God on my life. Thank you, Jesus. So God is trying to get his attention. Even while he's running, I believe today that God is still trying to get our attention. That brings me to my next point. It's very important. It's this, is that, you know, God knows how to get your attention. Mm-hmm. Witness to a neighbor and say, God knows how to get your attention. Wow. Some of us have some stories about God getting our attention, don't we? Man, oh man. We can even look in Scripture and see that when God wanted to get Moses' attention and Moses was running, God wanted to use him because Moses has amazing testimony. Moses is running because he had just murdered somebody, and God uses murderers too. You know, I'm just letting you know, he did. Y'all don't like that. Yeah, y'all just like Moses when he's all cleaned up and he's ready to go. But before that, Moses murdered an Egyptian and left him in the sand. Said, I'm out because I know y'all after me. Now God says, Moses, I want your attention. Sometimes we think things disqualify us. God says, no, I still want to use you. Now Moses is running on the backside of the Mount of God. He's hiding there. And then God says, shows him a burning bush. God will get your attention. How many of you know a burning bush will get your attention? Especially if it's not being consumed. Then you hear a voice say, take off your shoes, Mo. For the ground you're standing on is holy ground. What's Moses going to do? Take off his shoes. You got my attention now, God. God got Gideon's attention. Gideon was hiding in a wine press. He was hiding in a wine press. Didn't have a whole lot of self-confidence or esteem because he said, we're from the smallest tribe and it's the least. I'm the least of my family and all this. And God says, you mighty man of valor. God begins to speak to him, and Gideon doesn't feel like a mighty man of valor because sometimes, you know, it's not based upon what you feel. It's based upon what God says about you. But God will get your attention even when some of you all are hiding in here today, and I'm not looking around. I'm looking right at the teleprompter. Hallelujah. Y'all hiding. God, don't see me. I don't want you to see me. I don't want to do your work. I'm running. I'm hiding. And plus, I messed up. I smoked a joint. I got high. I committed adultery. I did this. I did that. I stole money, whatever. God says, my call is still on you because gifts and callings are irrevocable. Somebody give him a praise in the house. Woo! Y'all still with me, right? God knows how to get your shadow with me. God knows how to get your attention. He got King Belshazzar's attention. Belshazzar is partying. He's a partying king. And he knows what he should be doing, but he doesn't do it. He takes out and makes mockery of God's, of the holy things of God. Drinks on them, and they're going through their drunken party and stupor. And God says, I know how to get your attention at the party. He knows how to break up your party. What did he do? He said, let me put some handwriting on the wall. Let me let you know, boy, that I see what you're doing. Oh, and man, I thought the dude would ask for forgiveness and repent. Do you think he would? Man, just like some of us, I'll keep on partying. Hey, God got Zechariah's attention, and Zechariah was like at church. I said like at church because he was praying and he was at the altar. He was asking God for some things. And then the Bible says an angel came. And understand, we talked about angels last week. Angels, you know, are messengers of God many times, especially Old Testament and the New Testament some as well. But they do their bidding by going to before God and getting a message from God, taking it down and delivering to several individuals. And an angel comes to Zechariah. And Zechariah is praying and asking God for something. And then all of a sudden an angel appears at the altar. Now, you talk about having good church. That would be a good church, right? See, a big, you we're praying, and an angel shows up and says, bam, hey, what's up, dude? Instead of Zechariah saying that, Zechariah looked at the situation, and he says, wow, the angel began to say, man, your prayers have been answered. The very thing that you've been praying for God for, he's going to deliver it. He's going to give you a son. His name's going to be John, and yada, yada, yada. Zechariah said, nah, that can't be. Now you believe that is some audacity. That's some nerves. You tell the angel that, nah, you wrong. You don't know how old I am. You don't know how old my wife is. You can talk about how old you are, but don't be talking about the wife, how old she is. We old. How are we gonna do this? And he kept on talking. This is the man of faith, the priest. Hallelujah. And finally, he talked so much doubt that the angel said, from this day forward, you're not going to say anything. Just mute your mouth. Don't say another word. If you can't speak in faith, don't say nothing. You ever felt like telling somebody that? Hallelujah. If you can't talk faith, if you can't believe with me, don't come against me. So therefore, just mute. So God said, you know, you don't even say anything till after the baby is born. So he has to shut his mouth for 9 months. 9 months, man. That's a long time to be quiet. And when he opens his mouth, you guess what? He's going to say what God said. His name shall be called John. This has been a while, long time coming, but yeah, I finally can talk again. Wonder what happened if God would shut every doubting mouth in here. Just a question, but moving on. Mary also was one. God got her attention. And not only Mary, but Saul. I love Saul's, when God gets his attention. Saul's going to persecute more Christians. And while he's on his way on the Damascus Road, God gets his attention. And he begins to shine a bright light. Saul falls from his beast. And then sometimes, man, sometimes you're in a place where all you can do is look up. Say, who are you? And I love the final comment at the end of it. He says, you know, I am the Lord, and it's hard to kick against the prick. Some of us are right now in that place of kicking against the prick. And God says, no, I want to be God. I want you to allow me to be God, because the direction you're going, I'm trying to get your attention, because there's another way, and I want to do something in your life, regardless of what you've been through, what you're going through right now. I want to do something amazing in your life. Can I let you know that just like it says, all of these, God was trying to get their attention. I put this last one, you know, what is your name? God is trying to get Jerry Wayne's attention. God told me he's trying to get the church's attention. And what do you mean by that? Man, God has a message for the church. And he says, I'm going to get that message to you. If I have to send somebody from Zimbabwe to share a message with you, I'm going to give you this message. Because I need a church in this last hour to rise up and to walk in the power that I've called them to walk in. I need a church that would believe the very things of God, that would recognize they operate under an open heaven, to call those things that be not as though they were, because they that know their God, they will be strong and do exploits. I'm calling for a church in this last hour that would not back up, back down, or back out. A church that would be bold and proclaim the word of God and recognize that I am God and bring glory to my name. Somebody give him a praise in this house. So when God wants to do something, here's what he does. In Psalms 103 and 19, the scripture says this: the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. He rules. Next verse, 20th verse, it says, bless the Lord, you his what? Angels who excel or are mighty in strength, who do his word. In other words, heeding the voice of his word. So he says, this is what I want to do. And he sends his angels. He says, I want you to go down to earth. Daniel is another one. I love that one. He says, I want to get a word to the earth. He says, so Michael, I want you to guard, because Gabriel is going to come from heaven with a message. Gabriel's a messenger angel. And he's coming from heaven to deliver a message to Daniel, because Daniel's been praying, and it took 21 days for the message to get from earth to heaven and heaven back to earth. Well, what happened? There was some battling going on in the heavenly realm. Are you all with me today? It because there was some things taking place, you know, in the heavenly realm but guess what? God's angels always went out. Something might try to hinder them, but they can't stop the word of God from getting. Why? Because they're on assignment. To do what? To heed the voice of his word. To do his will and his word. God, I thank God. That just blesses me so much to know, even right now, that angels are encamping around them that love him. And You know, there's a hedge of protection around me. The enemy might try to penetrate, but he can't successfully. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Why? Because God has established an angel, a hedge around me, and I give God praise and glory. And sometimes I have to remind the devil, you can only do just what God lets you do, nothing more. I said, boy, you acting pretty confident and bold. Well, you can be bold when you know who you are and you know whose you are and when you know who's got your back. Somebody give him praise one more time. He's a good God. That next verse says, bless the Lord, all you his host, you ministers. Also, you serve him. It's H capital there. You knew that in New King James Version. Always means divinity. You ministers of his who do his pleasure. In other words, you exist to do his pleasure. There's a heavenly host of individuals, and sometimes we forget this. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, that we're not down here by ourselves trying to accomplish this thing by ourselves, but we have the heavenly host that's on our side. And sometimes people will be telling me, well, you know, there was a third of heaven that came, you know, the third of the angels came with Satan. Forget all that. If the third is down here, there's two-thirds, right, that's on our side, right? And the two-thirds have the power of heaven behind them. So therefore, no devil, no demon in hell has authority or power over you. And we need to walk in that very confidence. Are you with me today? Give him a real good shout in the house. Hallelujah. Here's this next, and this is what he spoke to us, and it took me a while to bring it, but I'm going to share it just like God shared it with me, because I was a little bit nervous saying it. I said, well, maybe God, maybe I'm not sure if they can grasp it like this, but here's what he spoke to me. He says, abundant faith will see greater things and an open heaven. Now, personally, he says this about this church, not just about any church, about any believer. No, he spoke to my heart and said, abundant faith will see greater things. Somebody shout it with me, greater things. Y'all didn't sound like you was convincing. I said, shout greater things. Greater things. Now, if you really want to see greater things, you've got to be willing to recognize that heaven has been opened over us. Yes. We live under an open heaven. And I have to just remind you, give you this definition one more time. What is an open heaven? An open heaven is when God decides to pour. This is not totally exhaustive, but I want you to grasp this. It's when God decides to pour his presence and glory onto the earth. It's when heaven, the heaven realm and the earth realm come together. It's when the supernatural supersedes the natural laws. It's when God and all of his resources are available from heaven to the earth. And sometimes in varying degrees, we'll see signs, we'll see wonders, we'll see the hand of God. We will be able to experience God himself in our very presence, in our midst. That's open heaven. Are you with me? Are you all ready to receive that? I said, are you ready to receive it? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So therefore, here's what has to happen. And as I talk to you, the Bible talks about, you know, that abundant faith will see this. You know, a couple things has to take place. One is we have to see ourselves as God sees us. And this is not in my notes. I just want you to grasp on that, because, and then the other thing, you have to be hungry for it. There's a passage in the book of Jeremiah. Let's look at Jeremiah. Yeah, that'll work. Hallelujah. Man, you talk about being in the will of God. Praise God. Is that Odette back there? Praise the Lord. He said, well, this is what you have to do. He says, call to me and what I will and do what? So whether we know it or not, there's some things we don't know. There's some great things that happen and we haven't been exposed to them yet. Hallelujah. Sometimes we're limited based upon our experiences. If we've only seen so much, if we have not seen blinded eyes, we say, well, I don't know. If we haven't seen people come running to God saying, what must I do to be saved? You know, we will say, well, I'm not sure. But God wants to show us some things that we've never seen before. He wants to open heaven to us so we can receive all that he has for us. There's some things in heaven that we've not seen. And to be truthful, we need to recognize that we need to ask if we don't know, if we want to see more. We have to say, God, this is what we want. This is our desire. Thank you, God. Man, this is beyond all the people that says, well, I just wanted to come and leave. How can we impact the world except God gets involved and shows us things. Well, I've never seen a revival at the college before, but with God, you can. I've never seen a neighborhood revival so strong that all the neighbors got together and were praying and God did some amazing things and the other neighbors that weren't saved got saved. I've never seen church, you know, with such energy and fire to the point to where, you know, the pastor couldn't minister because the Holy Spirit was so rich in the house. I've never seen that before, but I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And I must admit, folks, that there's some things that I don't know, and God exposes me more and more. I say, oh, God, I see it at a whole nother level. I let you know that, man, when that happens, man, I just begin to give God glory. I just begin to give him praise because it's amazing when that takes place. Are y'all ready to go to this next point? Whew, hallelujah. But here's how it has to happen. For God to show you great and things that you do not know, you have to pray and ask God to give you revelation. So I put it like this. Having a revelation of what God did for us and when he opened heaven for us will change what? The way we pray first? We won't even pray the same when we recognize and have a revelation of what God has done for us through Jesus. Revelation of an open heaven where heaven opened and the Holy Spirit came down and God spoke. Revelation said, this is my beloved son, who I'm well pleased. It's something about the way we pray that changes. Why do we need to pray? We no longer need to pray, God, rent the heavens. But heavens have already been rent. They've already been opened. And Isaiah said, come down, come rent the heavens and come down, Lord, and change the situation. God says, I've already done that through Jesus when I poured my spirit out upon him. And he is the one in the flesh. He's God in the flesh on the earth. We don't have to pray that any longer. Another prayer you don't have to pray is, you know, Lord, send me the comforter. The comforter, what? Help me out is he is already here. So we don't have to pray that prayer. I hear some people praying certain things, and if I could just say, well, listen, you don't have to pray that. Some people are praying that the devil be defeated. How many of y'all know that the devil is? A few people got the revelation. I said, Satan is what? He's already defeated, isn't he? Well, you need to treat him like that. Treat him like, just that way, the devil be beating me down. You let a defeated devil beat you down. Oh man, I'm preaching okay today. Hallelujah. I'm glad I came. But when you don't know, you have power and authority over the enemy. He'll wreak havoc in your house, in your family, in your health, in everything that you have, in your unity. He'll mess with your head. Just like I told you, you know, I thought for a number of years that I had bad luck on my life until somebody told me, man, you don't have no 7 years of bad luck. You blessed. I was like, I don't. Man, I start acting different, man. Why? Because someone gave me revelation. You can either believe the lie and you give power to that lie and power to the liar, or you can believe God's word and give power to the truth of God's word. Hallelujah. So it'll change the way we pray. We won't be begging God, God, do this, God, do this. He says, I've already done that through Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Are you with me today? Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, God. I begin to thank God for my health, begin to thank him for life, I begin to thank him for strength, begin to thank him for giving me authority over the enemy and over every unclean spirit. I begin to walk in that very authority that God has given me. Are you with me today? It's important to know who you are so you'll know how to pray. So my prayer is less about begging and more about giving God thanks. Father, I thank you that the devil's defeated. I thank you that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I thank you, God, that I am the head, not the tail. I thank you, God, that you've opened doors that no man can shut. Thank you, Lord. That's my prayer to God. Thank you, Lord. Not only it also changed the way we worship. Sometimes when we worship, it's from the head, and man, God wants those that worship him to worship him in spirit and in truth. So therefore, when we really see God, you know, I know, thank God for all of our worship leaders and those that lead us into the presence of God. But there comes a time that when we actually can see or value God, worth means to declare a worth. When we declare God and see another aspect of who he is, that we just automatically worship. Worship is the response to our love and our revelation of who he is. No wonder the angels cry holy every time they go around the throne. Holy is God. Holy are you, Lord. I think God wants to show himself to us that we have another encounter with him, that we no longer be the same, but that our worship be so rich and so from the heart that lives are changed. Are you with me today? Through the worship that we have. I remember one worship night in particular that Kathy and Dennis had been praying for years, actually, before every Wednesday service and laying on the altar. And some people think they're different, but they are different, and different is good. But as they were praying and laying before God for some time on one Wednesday, man, God just decides to just show up and just do an amazing work. And when God shows himself, you know, there's something that takes place that everything else has to bow. Everything else has to bow. Things became quiet. Musicians stopped and started crying. Jeremy got off he was leading worship from the keyboard, got off the keyboard and just fell on his knees and fell out. I'm thinking, I'm just saying, God, you know, I sense your presence. And you ever had one of those moments you say, well, what do we do? And we don't want to leave from this place. Nobody screaming, nobody trying to grab the mic, say, I got a prophetic word. None of that. It was just the presence of God. And you talk about a sweet place. No wonder the psalmist says, your loving kindness is better than life. When you tap into that, there's something there that you don't ever want to leave that place. You know, God wants us to have a revelation of who he is, because when we really see who he is, then we'll worship from our heart from a whole nother place. Are you with me today? No one have to say, throw your hands up. You know, the Lord has been good. If he's been good, won't you clap your hands? You know, if the Lord has been good, won't you stomp your feet? You will come in and say like the psalmist, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You'll say, taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Having a revelation of what God did for us and the open heaven unto us will also do another thing. It will change the way we think. We'll no longer think defeated. We'll no longer think poor me, and we were just born on the wrong side of the track. And mama was broke, and that one was broken. I'm third generation broke. And I'm like, saying, man, we'll change our thinking. Getting quiet in the stinking thinking section. It'll change the way we think. It'll change the way we think. It'll change the way we act when it comes to sickness and when it comes to people speaking into our lives, because a lot of times people will love to give you some bad news. And if you embrace that bad news, it'll mess with your day, your all day. Can I get a witness? You have to be careful to have the mind of Christ, to think like Christ thinks. And that's how he wants us to operate. That's how he wants us to live. I have to practice that because, you know, thinking many times comes to your head, and then you begin to think that way because, you know, sometimes you can tell who certain people have been around based upon what comes out of their mouth. Oh, you've been hanging around with so-and-so, haven't you? Because they sound just like them. That's why I don't believe in watching a whole lot of news, especially by non-believers. This is really going to get me in trouble. I'm careful about who teaches me in a secular environment, because sometimes you may have a degree, but you may be less attached to God and less wise. You may pass the test, but if you believe that all gods are the same, you may pass the test. You may have a degree, but if you think that there's no difference between the God that we serve and anybody else, man, don't give me a degree. I just want to know God. I just want to know him. I want to operate in him. Are you with me today? Boy, I'm going to get in trouble today, but I'm just letting you know that we can be educated, but if we don't know Jesus, what good is all that education? Lord, let me know you. I don't want to take place a secular professor over you, God. God, I want to be in your presence. I want people to know that I've been in your presence. Thank you, Jesus. When I see the disciples that encountered Jesus on the highway and Jesus spoke to them and they said, oh, this is later on they figured out that was Jesus. They said, didn't our hearts burn as we spoke to him along the way? And then they talked to someone else later on. And you know what they said? These were ignorant and unlearned men, but they've been with Jesus. Can I let you know that being with Jesus makes all the difference in the world? Being in his presence makes all the difference in the world. It squashes all that other stuff. It will change the way we think. It will change the way we live. Hallelujah. Let me bring this last point. Is anybody getting anything? If you are, give him a praise in this house. Hallelujah. So, having a revelation will change the way we pray, the way we worship, the way we think, the way we live. I also want to know, and this is what God is calling us even today, and this is my challenge to you. When we have a revelation of his presence, you know, it makes all the... All right. That's a good thing. When we have a revelation of his presence, it changes our confidence. It does. It increase our confidence increases, our faith increases, our expectations grow. But you have to have a, what? You have to have a revelation. Let me see if I can explain this in a situation. And when I was a kid, you know, a young guy, you know, I wasn't as big as everybody else. I hadn't always been this big, strong. I haven't, you know, because I am. Y'all, why y'all laughing? But I used to get bullied because back in the day I was small. You know, one of the neighbor kids when we lived in the projects, the old projects, John Hay Homes, would love to see me come outside because he knew he was bigger than I was. He'd push me around. You know, one time he hit me and I'd run in the house. I was crying. Remember a long time ago, so I don't do that no more. But push me down, I'd run in the house and tell my mom, no, no, no. She got tired of me whining. She said, you go back outside. Go back outside. And I said, Mama, he's out there. And my sister, she was 2 years older than me. She, you know, showed me what she knew about fighting. You know, and I'm just talking about, and you know, and this because I'm going somewhere with this, because some of us just be whining because we don't know who we are and don't have a revelation. And so she showed me what she could do, and which wasn't all that. But I went back, man, and he pushed me again. Now my sister's right there, and he hits me in the stomach, and man, I'm doubled over now. I'm not sure if you've ever said, man, if I don't fight back, I'm going to be in trouble because he's going to hit me again. I can't go back in the house because the door is locked. So I said, I'm going to have to fight back. So he hit me one more time. That time, I think tears started coming down. And I started doing what my sister showed me. Start fighting like a girl. Y'all think I'm playing, man? I did the windmill on that dude. Wop, 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 wop. Man, you do what you can do, man. You had time out. I wish I could say I did the Muhammad Ali shuffle, you know, and weaved and bobbed. I didn't beat, man. Windmill. Dude, he dropped. He knew how to handle that, man. And I look back, saw my mom. Look back, saw my sister. She just bugging up too. All of them there standing. It's something about when you know you're not by yourself. When you know that you're in this. But if you do slip and fall, somebody coming out of that door. If you do mess up, you got some backup. Can I just share this scripture with you? Because you got to grasp this. This passage says, this is they're going to show it, John 5 and 19. It says this. It says, so Jesus explained, I tell you the truth. The Son of Man can do what? You're not doing this by yourself. You're not in this fight by yourself. You're not dealing with what you're dealing with on the job by yourself. You've got to grasp this. You're not in the fight by yourself. You're not going to the doctor by yourself. You're not by yourself. Somebody's standing in the doorway. Somebody's standing next to you. Y'all better give God a praise in this place. I end on this note. Shout it with me. I'm not by myself. Genesis 28, 16, last verse. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep. In other words, I had to get up. A revelation took place. And said, what did he say? And what? Can I let you know that the Lord is in this place right now? And sometimes we're not aware. We're running around all shook up, but surely the Lord is in this place. We're not aware of it. Wake up and say, he's in this place. Somebody give him praise in this house. Come on, bless him in the house. Shout it with me, he's in this place. Say it like you mean it, he's in this place. Give him glory in the house. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We give you honor. We give you glory. Everybody stand on their feet at this time. Glory to your name, Jesus. Do you all sense he's in this place? Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to your name, Jesus. Can I just minister to you? You're not by yourself. You can be bold. You can pray bold prayers. Jesus says he didn't do anything by himself. He did nothing on his own, but God was always with him. What would we do? What could we do? What could we accomplish if we recognize that when we go forth, we don't go forth by ourselves? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Here's my challenge to you. Eyes are closed as we just pray in the Spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you for your presence, God. Thank you, God. Become aware of his presence now. Because he's here. And when he's here, that means you can receive everything you need. It's in his presence. Thank you, God. Healing is in his presence. Freedom is in his presence. Every financial need is met in his presence. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Boldness is in his presence because you're not alone. I'm just speaking to the one that's been struggling with something on the job. Know that you're not by yourself on that job. Worrying about nothing. You don't have to worry because when you go in, the presence of God comes in with you because you become aware of what's taking place. You pull down strongholds. When you enter, thank you, God, change takes place in the name of Jesus. While your heads are still bowed, you say, Pastor, how does that look? I'm glad you asked. Because I faced this as well, and I had to go in and pray for someone not long ago, and it didn't look real good if you look at the outward situation, and I had to get myself together and before I went in to pray. How does that look? That means that sometimes I gotta meditate before I go into a room. And I have to recognize and have to just acknowledge, God, you're with me. You're for me. I'm not by myself in this. So, Father, may I become aware of your presence. I want to press into your presence right now. Because when I go into the room, I want to take the Lord along with me everywhere I go. So I remember stepping into the room after, it took me a few minutes and I didn't want to go in there till I was ready. And some of you all, you need to sometimes meditate on the things of God and get all that other stuff out of your ear and not have crazy folk talking doubt to you, but just locking into the very presence of God and being conscious of his presence, not only with you, but inside of you. I walked in the room and one of these individuals was an unbeliever. And when I walked in, they looked up and they said, I knew something had changed because I felt the presence of God and I felt the atmosphere change. Can I let you know, my friends, every one of us in this house should be atmosphere changers. When you step into your house, the atmosphere changes. Why? Because you bring the Lord along with you and you're cognizant or aware. You're conscious of what he is doing around you and on the inside of you. Thank you, Jesus. Then when we laid hands, because the presence of God was there, healing took place. Why? Because, not because of us, but because of the presence of God upon us. Because without him, we can do nothing, but with him, we can do all things.